Good afternoon. You are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU FM. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change here in the Dawnland. We explore topics such as restorative justice, restorative practices, decolonization, cultural revival, and more. Our guests are people involved in aspects of truth, healing, and change work. This program is offered in an effort to share, inspire, and inform. Dawnland Signals is a collaboration of Wabanaki Reach and WERU FM. I am your co-host, Nick Bear.
And I am your co-host, Nolan Altvater. Bajie Bun, winter is here and Dawnland Signals is back. For Wabanaki people, winter is a time to rest and share our stories, so it feels so good to be bringing back the show during this time of the year and share the space with our guests and listeners. On our show today, we will be discussing the intersections of rematriation and child welfare through coming-of-age teachings with Passamaquoddy citizens Lynn Neptune and Stephanie Bailey. Before I let our guests introduce themselves, I'd like to offer a framing for this topic and connect it to the Maine Wabanaki State Child Welfare Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Back in 2015, the commission published a report with a list of recommendations for healing child welfare practices. After respecting tribal sovereignty, the second recommendation in this report states, quote, "To honor Wabanaki choices, to support healing as a tribe see fit, and celebrate the cultural resurgence of the tribes within the Wabanaki Confederacy so that both individuals and communities may be strengthened." Unquote. Among the suggestions that the Wabanaki communities offered for this recommendation involved mobilizing coming-of-age ceremonies, which is exactly what Lynn and Steph have been doing for the Passamaquoddy communities for the past 2 years. And we would like to listen and honor this work in their reflections as Passamaquoddy mothers and leaders in our communities. But before we dive into that conversation, we also want to start with appreciating the land.
Leo and Nolan, I'm going to offer land appreciation before we begin. We recognize the strong Wabanaki women who introduced our communities to their perspectives and voices with this show. It is our duty to honor them as best we can with a reignition of this work. We are proud of where our seeds were planted. These roots connect us to our past relations and their knowledge systems. We are a support for all of our people and do this in respect for the ones who have made their journey to be with our ancestors. It is an honor to be a part of this kind of work, and I am humbled by the opportunity to connect with my Wabanaki relatives in a new way that only could have been in my ancestors' wildest dreams. K'chi Wiliwun Delibemwak.
Chi Willy Wun, Nick. Now, to start our conversation, I'd like to invite our guests to introduce themselves and share how they got involved in doing this work. Lynn Mitchell, not Neptune, my apologies on that. Do you mind starting us off by sharing a little about yourself?
Hello, although I do love my cousin Lynn Neptune. And Lou is Lenny Mitchell, Beskidamukad Nagawalastaguinil, Sibaignu Jayao. And my spirit name is Bukmas Jiplugin. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much for inviting us here this morning, this cold morning. And sorry about my voice. I'm a little under the weather, but we'll push on. So, and your question was how we got started with this. My whole life, I've always worked with little kids in different aspects, like cheerleading, Girl Scouts, doing parent-teacher group things. I've always worked with the kids and mostly girls. And so then as I got older and I was able to be who I am, Skijin, and bring those things, help to bring things back. That was something that In 2019, I was in Boston at the Upstander Academy, and it was a decolonizing workshop, and I met Mi'kmaq there, and what a powerful woman she is. Whoa. And I said, "We need you." I said, "I feel like Sibaigi-Madaukwe-Gook. We've been sleeping for a long time regarding ceremony." I mean, there was ceremony going on, but only within certain families. You know, it wasn't a community. Hey, we're having this. We want everyone involved who wants to be. So I said, "We need to bring you." And she said, "I'd love to come." But and she told me about her beautiful sister, Jeannie Bartabo, too. So I was like, "Oh." And she says, "But our kids are little and I can't come yet." And I said, "Okay." So we waited. So I prayed on it. And then I started with the Wabanaki Leadership Institute for the first round. It was just before COVID when we got together and we're sitting in a big circle. And because I know Kaka Goose Wagudum, I'm Crow Clan. So I know my duty in life and my responsibility. And I said, imagine if our kids knew, some of them don't know their clans. I said, imagine if they knew these things that they, you know, we could help guide them in their life and what to do, you know, because it's hard as a teenager. I also teach in the early morning. I teach the one class, the Passamaquoddy Cultural Language. So I work with the high school students and I see, you know, that fragile time in life. Who am I? And I was like, this could really help these kids. So, when we're sitting in the circle with the Wabanaki Leadership Institute, they asked the question, "What would you like to see for your community?" And people were saying more language, and you know, we just need to do more things, be more together. And I said, "Hey, I would love to see more ceremony." And so, I no sooner said the words, and then COVID happened, so everything was shut down for a while. But then when it came out, those ancestors listen, because I went to Tobik for Nigutguk for wampum teachings, and Ed Pearlie come up and, "Hey Lynn," he goes, "we need to talk to you," because everyone that we listen to, I end up going with Brianna Smith Zipses, and everyone we listen to, "Oh, we gotta do something. We gotta bring them." So many teachings, Donna Augustine. I said, "We gotta bring these people to our, you know, they're beautiful people." And so, like I said, Ed Pearlie come up to me that night at supper, and then these other women, and they said, "Lynn," I said, "What?" He said, "We gotta talk to you." I said, "Oh no, what I do now?" He said, "We need to. We'd love to gift Sibaigi-Madaukwe-Gook 4 days of ceremonial teachings." Holy good gravy. I was so excited. I just tears just came down my eyes, and it's like what an answer to a dream come true. So we brought them. They said, "All we need is firewood. We're gonna bring the cooks, the food, the fire keepers, the ceremonial teachers. We'll take care of their mileage, honorariums, lodging, everything. We just need firewood, but we need someone to help guide us in." So I was like, "Oh my God, I'll go talk to both chiefs, Zogums, and to ask them if that's something that they would be willing to host." And of course, absolutely. So then we started on the roll and we started getting everything organized. And the community, it was a beautiful time of sharing and connecting with our Wabanaki brothers and sisters who hold this knowledge and is willing to share and teach us. And so I feel like that was the catalyst. Boom. You know, it started community-wise, not just this group here. It was community-wise. And even women, elder women who were able to go in a woman's sweat with Glenda Lobelua. They were crying. They were so happy. I haven't been in a sweat in a long time. So these teachings haven't been, you know, here for a long time. So I was so happy anyway to make that happen, to just help make the connections. And so then shortly after that, you know, I kept going to the midwinter gatherings up in Canada. And then I connected with Jean Bartabo. and talked with her about the girls' rites of passage, because like I said, I've always been connected to the girls. And so she said, absolutely. So it was time. So I literally went into the schools, taking a flyer around who'd like to be part of the girls' rites of passage. And the girls were so excited. And the boys, what about us? And I felt bad. And I said, I'll find somebody for you. I'll find somebody for you. And so after that first year of rites of passage, my sister Stephanie and I, we went up to, we were invited to Nabizon's coming out ceremony for those girls up there who had already been in that first year. And I saw a man sitting there. And I went right over to him after. And it was Bill Malaya. And I said, would you be willing to help guide us, you know, to help us with these teachings? And then we can continue on once we're comfortable. He said, absolutely. So, whoop. So I was so happy with, you know, just making those connections and and making it come true. And then of course I said, well, of course the women can't lead the men in the community. So of course I picked two wonderful men, and that would be Nolan Altavader and Matt Dana. So I said, I handpicked them myself. I'm so proud of that anyway. So, but yes, and I can let Steph go into more of, you know, more of what happens and things like that if you're ready. But that's how it started for me. And I just, the story is just, you know, watch what you pray for because those ancestors are listening all the time. And I love that. Let them see.
Wenlin, Steph, do you want to add to that with your intro?
So Willie Zebuwe, or actually Willie Busquet for this one, isn't it? Kliwis, Stephanie Bailey is my English name. Jeepelauk, Cheeknauksapid, Thunderbird Spirit, Turtle Woman is my spirit name. Nujayel Madokmiguk, I live at in Madokmiguk or Indian Township, and I got into this work. I'm also Crow Clan. Lynn Mitchell is my sister. And I got it. I don't want to call it work because it's more just teachings, I guess. You know, I come into this by my sister. I always, so Lynn is my older sister. And when I was a young girl, I really seen her as like a mother figure. You know, she helped guide me a lot when I was a young girl. And then when I become a mother, Lynn started doing the Girl Scouts. And so I followed right along with her. I would bring my daughter to Girl Scouts, but I would help her if she needed me. And then she become part of the parent teacher partnership down Zibayeg, and I got onto that with her too. So like I when I lived at Zibayeg, I would always be like her little sidekick. I just she was a teacher for me, and I loved her. I still love her. I love her very much. She's just a beautiful human. Anyway, you know, I do a lot of volunteer work in my community. I do advocacy work for families and children, and I help people in general, but I also am a kid person, you know, boys and girls. I have a lot of grandsons now, but when my kids were little, and I moved to township because I ended up leaving my sister and coming up to Madokmiguk. I used to live Zibayeg, and when I come to Madokmiguk, there was nothing really going on. There was a lot of corruption in government, and so I ended up stepping into activism role, I guess you could call it. I think of myself as more of a, you know, encourager. And so I started encouraging more traditional ways back then because corruption was so, you know, so I was hand delivering a newsletter. And then eventually I still do an online newsletter. I started that in 2007 and it's still going today, but it's online on Facebook. And then I started a youth group in my community, and oh God, we ran that for about 4 years, and I had kids in the community, boys and girls, and we would come every week into my home, and we would talk about local and global issues, and we would do tribal things that were involved in our culture, like drumming or making crafts. So I was always involved in a different way. And then I was doing a lot of like going into I tried going into politics, which now I realize I'm so glad I never got in because it's not where I was meant to be. I'm very tender hearted, and I wear my heart on my sleeve like my sister Lynn does. And so I get tend to be looked at a lot in my community as a troublemaker, which is fine because I'm misunderstood. They don't understand why I do what I do. And that's fine with me because I know that it is what it is. I just need to keep on my path. Like my sister said, you listen to your prayers, and our ancestors are listening. So everything that I've done has been guided through prayer. And so my sister, she had in the background been doing all of that, making these connections, and she said to me, "Hey, would you be interested in being the clan mother for Madoc-Migook to bring these teachings back to our communities?" And I was unsure at first. I was like, "Oh, I don't know, maybe." And so I did also prayer. I was like, "Yes, I agreed to come and sit in and listen to what was going on." And so on my way down to go to one of our first, when we were getting together to talk, I think meeting with Jeannie, and talking about it coming into our community, I had prayed. And on the way, I was like, my asking my mother and a woman who had just died, who I'd seen also as a mother figure, Linda, I said, is this something that I should be doing? Is or should I, keep fighting? I want to say fighting, but standing up for bringing more traditional ways into our community and valuing our resources. And so, as I was going, a deer went out in the road and it stopped. And I literally was to those two women, I was seeking answers. And a deer stopped in the road and I had to stop. And I looked at this deer and I was like, "Oh, go." And then I was like, "Is that a sign?" And I was like, "No, that's not a sign." And so I kept going down the road, and 2 more miles, another deer came and stood in the middle of the road and looked at me. So 2 times I was like, "I'm meant to do this work. It's my time." So I went to Lynn and I told her, "I got signs today. This is what I'm supposed to be doing." So, and it makes more sense now because, trying to be involved in what's happening with government in our communities is very stressful and very hard because it's colonized and it doesn't work. It's meant to divide us and tear us. I mean, you look at the bigger example of what we're modeled after. So I realize now that the way that we're going to reach and make the changes that we really want to see when it comes to cultural identity and being who we're meant to be is through ceremony and through these engagements and working with our youth in this way, which is so important. So I'm so grateful for all the people that I've been involved with. I'm so grateful my sister has been on this path and seeking out all these connections, and that she sought me out because she not only handpicked Matt and Nolan, but she handpicked me. And I'm very grateful for that. So I'm glad to be part of it for sure, and I'm glad to have been in it 2 years, so I feel more confident with it now. But thank you so much, Woolly One.
Leo and Steph.
But first, would like to remind our listeners that you are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU FM. I am co-host Nolan Altvater, along with my good Nedub co-host Nick Bear. And Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. Today, we are discussing the intersections of rematriation and child welfare through coming-of-age teachings in the Passamaquoddy communities with Lynn Mitchell and Stephanie Bailey. Now, Steph and Lynn just shared sort of their experiences of coming into this work and the stories of how they took on that responsibility in our communities. And I'd like to kind of explore, what is the significance of these teachings and what they've looked like throughout history? Have they always been accessible to our youth, what to Wabanaki youth?
So I know, like, my cousins up on Indian Island, I think it's because of that connection with the Barterbo ladies that they had that connection already. And so some of them up there in the Penobscot territory had gone through these specific strawberry teachings. So, but down our way, I never knew anything about it growing up. I never heard about it, anything. The church really did its work and succeeded, in my eyes, down in our territory of taking away those things, not just church, but, and I hate to say anything. I'm not against the church because my mother was very Roman Catholic and she could sing High Latin. And, she was one of the lucky ones who came out, really loving, everything that the church did for her, and I supported her for that. And I supported for her. So, and it wasn't until she passed in 2016 that I felt I could step back and do what I needed to do for my own healing and for my own growth, because I knew it was in there. It's like, when something's right for you. And for me, I knew that wasn't for me. And so, turning this way and reaching for my own cultural teachings. And so, yeah, no, it wasn't available to me when I was young. And so I made sure that, like Steph said, about the way the world is now. And that's like the core of these teachings, teaching you to be a better person, to be better helpers, to work together in your community, to help your community out, and to be a good friend to the earth, to find that importance, instead of just walking by that beautiful sunrise or just looking at that tree. You know what I mean? Connecting with the land. It's so important. Yeah. I know with the, and that's why when we're working with the young, it's planting of these seeds. That's what I call it. Like I said, I've been teaching high school, the high school class, and then I go to my day job. I'm doing that for 9 years, and I know it works because these young kids now, we did the march. We always do the march September 30th for the children, and then in May for the MMIW 2GS. And those kids, they're always so proud to do those marches. And I'm thankful to Calais High School that we, it's so huge. I love it. And last spring, I wasn't able to be there. And this is how empowered these students are. They asked if they could lead that march themselves. And those kids, they smudged, had smudging ceremony, and then they marched, and the whole school followed. Nictaguazizug, all the way, those kids all the way through the school, and ended in the gym with drumming and singing. See? And I happened to be at a joint school board meeting is where I was. And so I was able to tell all three school boards, this is what your kids are doing. You know what I mean? And that's just makes my heart on fire. And so knowing that their little pilot lights are full flame, and same with these ones in the rites of passage, they're proud of who they are. Yeah, I love it.
That sounds amazing, Lynn. Was I on school board when that happened?
You were, that was last spring.
That was last spring. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that meeting. It might have been one that I skipped, one of the joint meetings. I don't skip meetings regularly. If I wasn't there, there was a good reason, I promise. If our superintendent is listening.
No, that's fine. And I know Steph can elaborate more on, because I think that's what you wanted, Nolan, right? Is what is the rites of passage? And she can talk to you more about what happens with that.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. So the rites of passage is we work with the young girls in our community. We give them 13 moon teachings. So we meet with them once a month. And we offer them a teaching, a variety of teachings. But behind that, hold on a sec. So we have like these. Oh, good. Lynn brought it. Yes. So I was just going to say there's We want to call them like guidelines, not so much rules, but we go by these guidelines with our girls for the berry fast. And some of them include we go by the full moon. So we always on the full moon, we let our girls know. We have a little group that we talk to with our girls also and their parents. And we notify them when the full moon's coming on. Lynn is really good at getting, she gets all of our girls a full calendar of the full moon, and we're able to so that they know when the moon is when they go into their lodge. So on the full moon, our girls will go into their lodge, and when they go into their lodge, the lodge is their room nowadays because of colonization and the way things are. We don't go out and build lodges outside anymore for the young people to go into. They go into their room, and that's a time where they take to reflect on who they are as a person, what they want to bring to their community, or what they envision themselves as they grow or mature too. It's a time for them to work on their language. It's a time for them to think about their dreams. So we ask them to really pay attention to their dreams, because young people, as they connect and prayer with their ancestors, they'll get visions, lucid dreams, or dreams through their night. So we provide them with a dream journal where they're able to document their dreams and reflect on those. So the most important thing, it's called the strawberry fast, because they fast from berries, all berries, cranberries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. And that's a hard thing to do. I didn't realize how hard it was until I had done my berry fast. We don't cut our hair during the fasting, so the girls are not allowed to cut their hair. Well, I mean, if something happens and they absolutely have to, then we don't discourage it. But it's a time to see how far you've grown, to stay positive and visualize a good life. To not watch scary movies, to stay away from that, because horror films can make you afraid of the spirit world. And the spirit world isn't a place to be afraid of. It's where we come from it. And so we don't want kids, our young people, to be afraid of the spirit world and dying, because it's a natural part of life. The young girls, we do have different aged women in our ceremonies, because like Lynn said, we've been colonized so much that a lot of people my age haven't been able to engage in this ceremony. So we have people that want to, like I've done it myself. And so we have other women, but the night of the full moon, our young people will go in, and then the second night is for young mothers, and then the third night would be for grandmothers. So that's when I would have gone into my moon, my lodge. So you go in when it starts getting darker, 2 hours before the moon gets to its zenith. Another important thing that's kind of hard is to not hold any babies that cannot walk. I can't remember why specifically right now, because I think we only had one the first year that had a really hard time. Actually, one other young girl stepped aside for not because she had a young person in her life that, a baby. Oh yeah, the babies just come from the spirit world, so they're closer to the spirit world. And then we pray on water for the next set generation. So when the full moon is out, we'll put out our water, so we can pray on it. We have our moon water. Like I put my water out on the full moon, and I use my water specifically for. I'm also an advanced pranic healer, so before I heal, I'll wash my hands with it, and I'll also drink some of it to take in the blessings of the moon. Yeah, the babies aren't grounded yet to the earth. They're still more connected to the spirit world. So that's why we don't hold the babies. And then we have our sacred bundles. We bring bundle teachings to our girls. And that as they grow more, walk more into ceremony, their bundles will grow. You have something to hold your smudge bowl and your traditional medicines, whatever medicines that they use or have access to right now, and their rattles or whatever they use in their prayer. And that's pretty much all I can think of right now.
Well, you and Steph. The berry fast was something that I was around a little bit while my sister Selena participated, and I didn't realize how much stuff had berries in it. I would go to like get her an energy drink, or like we would stop and get breakfast because we were still working for Nabizen at the time together. So oftentimes we'd be driving into work and stop at Freshies for breakfast, and I'd be like, "Hey, I'm gonna go grab something. What do you want?" And she like insist it has to be this brand, it has to not be this flavor, and she gave me like the whole protocol, like, "You can't buy me any of this stuff anymore, Bubba." And I felt so bad because she's always eaten that kind of stuff, and as much as I wanted to torture her, I tried not to eat berries and like fruits around her. So while you
So
were talking about that stuff, oh,
I did want
sorry,
to
go
add
ahead,
one
Lynn.
more thing about those berries. And so people ask why the strawberry, because that's considered the heart berry. And as Skidinawog, the berries were one of our first foods, our first traditional foods, the moose meat, the deer meat, the berries. So when we sacrifice from those berries, that's a huge sacrifice that we're making. Yeah, because even lip balms, even I had these beautiful raspberry earrings are made by Edie Mitch, and oh my gosh, I couldn't wear them. So it's a huge sacrifice, not only in that, but honoring, because Steph, you talked about we sit with the berries too, right? And we honor those. We went to the Blueberry Barrens, and Steph hosted us up there because she's like the Blueberry Baron boss anyway, and like strawberry shortcake. I mean, so anyway, but anyway, we took the girls up there and we met with Steph, and then we drummed and sang and we did water ceremony with the berries, and then we picked the berries, right? We touched them and we picked them, and we took them back to the elders. And so each girl went in the community and gave berries to the elders, and they were so happy just connecting. Whenever we can connect the elders with the kids, that's what we do. And those, like I said, those elders were so happy. And then we did save some leftover berries because another woman, Blunsuez, she taught the girls how to make jam, blueberry jam. So that was a whole other teaching. And then at the coming out ceremony, they gave away those berries. But like I said, we even picked traditional medicines. We go and, like I said, we're always connecting people with the elders, the kids with the elders. And like Elbow, Alberta White, this past August, right, Steph? She took us down and she taught the girls how to pick bugalus and gilhuswusk, two traditional medicines of ours. And so now, instead of a few people knowing this, all these girls know how to pick these medicines and what to look for and what they smell like and what they're used for. So that's what we're always connecting, not only the kids to the earth, but to the elders as well, because they're such important teachers for us.
Yeah, Willy One. Those intergenerational connections are so, important, and not only bringing these things back, but making sure they continue on. So, Kachi Willy One, thank you very much. And I just want to take a minute to remind our listeners that you are tuning in to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. I am co-host Nolan Altvater, along with co-host Nick Baer. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. Today, we are discussing the intersections of rematriation and child welfare through coming-of-age teachings in the Passamaquoddy communities with Lynn Mitchell and Stephanie Bailey from the two Passamaquoddy communities. And we were kind of sharing the commitments from the youth in these teachings, and I'm kind of curious, what are the when we're talking about values that we're trying to build in these youth, what are the foundations of those values? What are you trying to build them in, and what are the activities that you're doing with them to try to build those sort of community values in them?
A big thing is respect. That respect, like like I've been saying, with the for the land and for each other and for themselves, honoring themselves. When they go into that moon lodge, they're taking time for themselves to just be quiet and just, do their smudging, practicing that self-care, praying for themselves, praying for others, journaling. They're not allowed their electronics in that time. So that is a big thing, especially now with these young kids. Even the little ones have devices, but they know not to do this. And they're not allowed to cut their hair for a year either, because that hair is representative of that the sweet grass, that mother's first, our mother's hair from the earth, the sweet grass. So they don't cut that hair. And trying to stay positive, because at that age, like I said, because not only are, just the young ones, but some of the high schoolers want to join in too, and we let them. We let them. And sometimes in other tribes will literally, they'll do a fast as well, a 4 day fast of no food and water. We did have one girl who fasted 4 days with the boys, right, when they were coming out of their year. They did a 4 day fast too. And boy, to go 4 days without food or water in October in the woods, it's cold. But we were there every night for them, singing and honoring them. And what made my heart so huge was, we invited other people in the community, and two young boys, Madakmigu, because it was at Bear Lodge and it was fall and it was beautiful. And these two boys showed up, and Steph knew who they were. I didn't. And they come in with their drums, and they wanted to sing and drum for the boys. They were here to honor them, and they didn't even know who they were singing for, but they wanted to be there for them. I was like, oh my God. So, you know what I mean? So it's there. And now these two boys are part of this year. So they wanted to join right off. And there were other girls who came and drummed, high school girls, drummed and sang that night, the prayer song. And then after that song was done, everyone ended up just crying, because it was like, it's so powerful, and it's beautiful to see these kids just so on fire with who they are and loving it, And so now those other girls want to join in June, because the girls don't join in June, but they want to join in the fast as well. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's really, that's a big commitment, especially around that age. And it just shows how strong that these youth are, especially thinking they're making this commitment to building a relationship with food where there's some restrictions. Yet, to my understanding, they are also providing food for the community through a food pantry. And I don't know if Steph, if you want to share a little bit about sort of the reason, the story behind doing that food pantry for the communities. Well, you want.
So part of our teachings with the kids is, we talk about our values and caring for each other. And so we come up with the talking with the kids, we come up with the idea that giving back to our community and they looking out for the people, because a lot of our young people knew about there was losing the SNAP benefits because of the government shutdown. So a lot of our people, we were worried about that. So it come to us that we would bring food to our community. And so we come up with the idea to have a food drive and collect food, like put boxes out in the local government buildings for people to donate food. And so Zibayig and Madakmigook, Lynn helped with the kids there, and I did the kids up here. But we drove our young people around, and they went knocking on door to door and asking people if they could help donate any food to the community for the people that were having a hard time. So it was really good, and we made flyers to notify our community that we would be coming around on a certain date. and time. And I know for up in our area, we did really good. We collected so much food. It was really beautiful, and it was a cold day that we went out. But yeah, our young people went out, and it took us several hours to do it, but we got a bunch of food, and we were able to. The kids brought it over to the food pantry themselves. When we submitted the food to the food pantry, it was our kids that submitted it. So it was really a beautiful time in it, and they loved doing it. I know the kids, when they were in my car, they were like, I love doing this so much. I love helping my community. It just made them feel so wonderful, and it filled my heart too to see how much they learned from doing that, giving back like that.
That sounds really awesome. What a way to pass those values down to our youth and be able to share things like food. I mean, especially in a time that we so recently have experienced trouble with that and the SNAP benefits and all the turmoil there. It's a good feeling to be able to share things like that with our community and to, like I said, pass that on to the kids and to let them experience that with us. I can only imagine how amazing that felt, and I completely understand why you got so emotional about it, Lynn. Just thinking about our kids and giving them these good ways, it affects me strongly too. So Chi Willy
Yeah.
Won, both of you.
I like too how like the menstruation part for the girls. That's a big thing, those girls that are starting, because it on one part of the guidelines too for the girls is when they are having their menses, so they do the moon full moon ceremony, but when they are having their time, what we call their moon time, the parents are to go easier on them as well. And so not to do is not to be so strict on them and like give them that time, because these are future women who will be bringing life forward. And so to respect that and honor that with the girls and let them know how important that is. And so the girls love that part because they get to lay back a little bit and, get treated a little bit better. But on the boys' rites of passage, those boys are taught how to respect those women and to honor those women. And maybe Nolan can talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, it all works together in a beautiful way. And I love how Jeannie and Migamahan talked about us. The women be in that tree and the roots go way down, and the women are the inside of the tree and the men are the bark. They're the protector of the women, right? And so, but honoring those women. And so, we're matriarchal, and to have those teachings, teach that, to respect that and honor that, that's just awesome.
Lynn? Nolan, do you want to expand on that, please?
Yeah, Willy Won Lin. And I won't take up too much time, to really respect our guests here, but I can certainly share that, that foundation of respect for life givers in our community and teaching that to the young boys, it really starts with making them think about themselves and what it means to be a first and foremost, just a Passamaquoddy person. What does it mean to be a Skijin or a Skijinawug, our word for human being? And from there, talking about what it means to be a man and not feel shame in that, to learn about sort of the toxic characteristics that colonization and patriarchy has brought to what that means, but to learn about how what being a man or a young boy means in the context of a Passamaquoddy way of life. And that starts from respecting yourself, respecting the life givers and women in the community, and respecting community. And a big part of that is also, recognizing that especially in these coming of age ceremonies when youth are coming into knowing who they are. It's also like recognizing that the spectrums of gender involved in this, not only respecting women, but respecting our two-spirit peoples. And that's really kind of like what I was hoping to share with the youth and think with them, because these the no matter what the teacher is sharing with the youth, they are experiencing their experiences. And for two-spirit youth, sometimes that's not brought up. And to really have that be part of the foundations is core to that respect for all life, in a good way. But yeah, thank you for bringing that in, Lynn. And I just want to sort of now focus on, we're talking about sort of these roles of gender that come up in these teachings and your reflections, as two Passamaquoddy leaders, caregivers, and mothers. And sort of what that means for you and where you see sort of, this idea of, rematriation or returning to these like responsibilities of care in the community, sort of like offering any reflections that you have from that matriarchal standpoint of the again, I almost use the word work, but as Steph put it, it's really, you're giving life to the community. So like any reflections you can offer, Willie One.
So these like I said, I've worked with kids my whole life, but to work in the cultural capacity, that because that's where my realm is now. That's what I do in my free time. Because like I said, I go to my day job, but then I go and we do this beautiful work, and because I see the value in it, and seeing these kids just come forward and, oh, can I do the smudging for everyone today? Absolutely. And so, and then even if, someone wants to do a prayer, yeah, we bring them forward, we highlight them, put them, because I was talking to one of the elders and I said, these kids are, I was talking to Didi Altivator, and I said, these kids are so beautiful. I said, they're our future. And she goes, Nolan, there are now. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. Because we are putting them in these positions and they of respect and love, and they are shining and they are spreading it forward. And, they are, I was like, oh my God, you're so right. So yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And so that's where I see, everything that we've been doing. It's a beautiful thing.
I just wanted to add that, I'm a grandmother and I have 9 grandchildren. And, when I was a mother, I was raising mostly girls, and now I'm raising mostly boys. And I have a lot of boys and children that come to my house because I'm raising one of my grandchildren here, my grandsons. And I can see, like, even the boys that aren't involved, or the kids that aren't involved, like the teachings that we offer are spreading, because I'll hear these boys talking about doing something, or they're offering some sort of teaching, like drumming or singing, to something. My grandchildren Lynn and I, we went over to my mother's grave and to put down a wreath, and to drum for down at the graveyard. And we had other kids that, weren't even involved in any ceremony at all. So, what we do spreads just by being. And so I try to, and we just had a teaching with Tara Lynn, and I can't remember but her last name, but it was just, that's something that I teach when I'm around all the kids. It's like every day. Tara Lynn Fern is, she teach, like, you really have to live it, what we're teaching, the ceremony and stuff. And I felt so good. I was like, that's so Spot on, because that's, I know that's how I live, and I know that's how Lynn lives. Like, we try to walk in a good way and treat people respectfully, and whatever teachings we have, we offer them freely. And so, you know, to see that our grandchildren and the kids that we're bringing in these teaching are starting to move in that way as well is just such a gift. I feel so blessed to be able to be involved in this new way of being and for us, I mean, because we're just bringing it back, like Lynn said, colonization. They did a good job in coming and making sure that we were unlearning what was very important to not only us as people, but to our earth, because this is why there's so much breaking down in society and the earth, and so many things are in a bad way, is because we're forgetting about all of that interconnectedness. So to be bringing that back and seeing it spread, even when we're not in ceremony, to me is just such an important part of that rematriation. Like, it's happening with us every day.
I really love the thought of how it's current. It's not like the future, it's happening all right now. I love that perspective, Lynn, and thank you so much too, Steph. The work that y'all are doing is incredible. And I really appreciate it. Even though I'm Bunawabsgag living up here, all my family's still in Sabaic too, and it makes
So
me miss home.
with Steph, I always used to say, she has her own ball team, because all those grand boys, now she's got her own drum group, and you should hear them. They are awesome, and some of them dance so awesome. But you know, with this, with our teachings that we're doing, it isn't just Beskidamukud that are going through the rites of passage. Right now, we have two Mi'kmaq women who didn't have that chance, and they're joining us, and we have three Penobscot women with our group. So yeah,
Are you seeing
us.
more
Yeah.
of like a coming together from our Wabanaki relatives?
Absolutely. Yes.
It's
Yes.
beautiful.
Yes.
I really love to hear that. It's nice when
Yes.
we can get together for more than, one big community day in the summer.
Yeah. And when we say, like, our Wabanaki communities, we're also, because we have this really silly line that runs right through the middle of our homelands. Some people call it the US-Canada border, that imaginary line there. And seeing our relatives, seeing these teachings go beyond that line there and be spread throughout our homelands is, that's part of the work that it's always been there and it always will be. So that, bringing together across the lines that crossed us. So yeah, K'chi Wili'wun, Lynn and Steph for, bringing that to our homelands here.
Even the last trip that we took with the kids to the petroglyphs, those women, they drove, the Mi'kmaq women, I think they drove like, what, 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours just to get there. Yeah. So, I mean, they travel just to come. Yeah.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Could either Steph or Lynn expand a little bit on maybe the elder women role in some of this work? I know you had made the connection of getting the youth with the elders, but could you maybe talk a little bit more about what the elders' role is? Either
You mean
Steph or Lynn.
the ones that are participating in the ceremony?
Yeah.
Because we engage elders, you know, regular in the teachings as often as we can, because we want that learning to be that way. But yeah, there. So some of us are grandmothers. Like, when I did the ceremony, I was grandmother, and the role isn't necessarily different. It's just that we participate, in our, whatever our age bracket is, as a mother or a grandmother. And we offer that because, like I said, this hasn't been offered to us. This wasn't available to me when I was a young girl. And I felt like I wanted to experience that. I wanted to do that because I am growing in my own spirituality, but not just that. I mean, I'm already a spiritual woman, but into my cultural spirituality and the ways of teaching in that way. So the roles aren't very different. The roles are the same for the young people as they are for the older women. But we also, if the older women have something to offer, like the two Mi'kmaq women we have now, they're very smart women. And so they have a lot to bring. So they participate in all of what we do, but also they have things to offer in teachings as well. So it helps make it well-rounded, and it connects us in a bigger way, because it's not just about being young. It's about even us as adults learn. And oh, I was gonna say something else, but I lost my train of thought. But maybe Lynn has something to offer.
No worries, Steph. Holy one. Go ahead, Lynn.
One of the important things too is that water, that sacred water. And we'd, like I said, we do water ceremonies to honor that water, because that's that water, those sacred waters in our mother's bellies that we all came from and that we grew in, and that we had all that love. We had everything we needed in the bellies. And so we teach these girls how important that water is. And they also, like I said, ceremony, but they'll also pray on that water too during their moon lodge. So, it's just, we always have to remember the water.
Yes, Willie Wun Lin, water is life, and that really comes through in these teachings, and a really great reminder. To Kachi Willie Wun. And I just want to take the moment to, wrap this conversation. I know these teachings are going to be continuing, but our time is coming to a close today. So I just want to first and foremost say a big Kachi Willie Wun. Thank you very much to Steph and Lynn here for, not only being the rock stars that they are, and having their day jobs and taking on this role in our communities, but for, making the time to come and share it with us and with the public. So Chi Willy Won. And I also want to thank you to the listeners for joining us on Dawnland Signals. Thank you to our volunteer technician, Scarlett Tudor, for her assistance and support. And be sure to join us next month on March 3rd and every first Thursday of the month for Dawnland Signals and more conversations of truth, healing, and change. So stay tuned for more great programming here on WERU-FM. And I would like to correct a mistake. I believe I said the first Thursday, and it is the first Tuesday of the month. So join us the first Tuesday of the month for Dawnland Signals. And more conversations of truth, healing, and change. Like they say, a big upjudge gnomia. We'll see you again in the future.